You're listening to KPPP LP FM Radio.
Let me tell you about a girl I know. Had a drink about an hour ago. Sitting in the corner by herself. In a bar in downtown hell. She heard a noise and she looked through the door. Chin and a plastic smile. Well, her auto raced as he walked in the door and took an empty seat next to her at the bar. A brand new car is parked right outside. How'd you like to go for a ride? And she said, wait a minute, I have to think. He said, that's fine, may I please buy you a drink? One drink turned into three or four, and then left and got into his car, and they drove away someplace from far. Now, babe, the time has come. How'd you like to have a little fun? And she said, only please be on our way, I would not run. That's when things got out of control. She didn't want to, he had his way. She said, let's go, he said, no way. Come on, babe, it's your lucky day. Shut your mouth, we're gonna do it my way. Come on, baby, don't be afraid. If it wasn't for day rape, I'd never get laid. Takes it in the behind.
Sublime with Date Rape. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPP LPFM, broadcasting online through Live 365. Soon you'll be able to find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves.
Yeah. And you're sounding a little bit better, but you're not sounding all that great. So, you know, we'll just carry the show. You know, you're listening to KPPP LPFM. We're broadcasting online through Live 365. .com, and soon we're going to be found on your radio dial at FM 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves.
It's worth mentioning twice. It really is.
Yeah.
And we're excited because we will be on the air very soon. And although my voice sounds a little crappy.
Yeah.
It's
raspy.
Raspy.
Raspy. That's it. It's raspy.
It's working. It's still working. So we're going to try and carry on.
Yeah.
Today's show is about Band-Aid solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I chose this topic is because I've seen a lot of talk about these anti campaigns, anti-rape campaign, anti-bullying campaign, anti-gun campaign. And I think that the way in which they're carried out is really a Band-Aid solution. And the way in which we as America are viewed in dealing with our gun control problems, mm-hmm. Our rape problems, our bullying problems, whether they're in school or online, I think says a lot about how poorly we're actually handling these situations, because people in other countries think we're insane.
Oh, yeah. And also there's a lot of time spent on, you know, awareness and awareness and awareness. We've been aware of this for a long time. We're tracking statistics that keep on getting worse in killings by gun, in rapes, you know, the increase of rapes. You know, it's we live in a college town. Mm-hmm. Every time students come back, that's all they're talking about. And women are unsafe.
And women are getting raped right here in Fargo, Moorhead.
That's right.
We've heard of a rape at MSUM, which is the college our child is going to.
Yeah, it's two blocks from our house.
Right. We've heard it, rape happening at NDSU.
Mm-hmm.
There are numerous campaigns going on, discussions going on about how to reduce the number of women getting raped. Currently, well, the last time we talked about rape, the statistic I heard was 1 in 5 college women are being raped. And the statistics are higher for incidences of rape for women of color. This is just a fact across the board.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether they're in college or not in college. The statistic of 1 in 5 women being raped in college is just for college women.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the women in college are white women. We also know that.
Yeah.
The second thing is, now it's more than 1 in 5 college women getting raped. It's increased. It's getting worse. And the solution that we're talking about here in Fargo Moorhead, there's an article in the Inforum where they were talking about a variety of different policies that they're looking at, similar to a new law that they passed in California, where they're putting emphasis on the consent. You know, when does a woman consent?
Oh, going back to when rape was first in trials where women wouldn't be believed and even testify that they could be raped.
Right.
So we're back to that again, consent.
Well, it seems that the discussion is focused on consent. So they're talking to the different colleges, and Concordia, NDSU, and Minnesota State are all talking about their policies in this article. And so the policy at Concordia is, it says that silence alone cannot be interpreted as consent. It has to come from words or actions, quote unquote.
Oh, wow. Like you're in court, you have given audible answer. You're right. On trial here. You're on rape trial here. You didn't say anything, therefore it wasn't rape.
Well, it says that silence alone can't be interpreted as consent. So
okay.
It's a person not consenting with words, it doesn't mean necessarily consent.
Okay. Well, I confuse that. I'm sorry. I'm very skeptical, though, because we've been seeing this. We've been seeing the solution, the supposed solution that hasn't been a solution because rape is increasing.
Right.
One thing, the beginning song, I mean, that it's actually a terrible song.
It is, but I mean, it is about rape culture.
It is, you know, it was by Sublime. It was called Date Rape. And the line in there where, you know, it's also a video too. So, you know, the woman's like obviously not wanting to have sex. And
right.
The guy's like, hey, what I say goes, and if I couldn't have date rape, I could never get laid.
Right.
You know, and we never focus on men. We never focus on men. I've been doing racial justice organizing, community organizing for over 20 years. And whenever people bring up we need to deal with the men, no one wants to do it. And we're not in society. We're not dealing with men who are the perpetrators of this problem.
Right. I hear that a lot. Well, it's funny that you should bring that up, because there's this program that does put the focus on men, supposedly. CAWS Cause, it's called.
Ah.
North Dakota. has a program that is being launched by this group, where they're going to focus on role modeling, you know, and anti-bullying and anti-harassment public service announcements that basically tell men to step in, get involved. So you guys can go check this group's website out at mencanstoprape.org.
Okay.
That's their wording, not mine, mm-hmm. not ours.
Yeah, that's the actual URL, the website address,
yes.
mencanstoprape.org.
Right. And the campaign that they're using is called Young Men of Strength. So they believe that, you know, like women, if they see other women being harassed by a man and they don't think that woman wants to be harassed, they can tell. Women are more likely to step in and say something like, leave my friend alone, or do you need help, or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas men, according to some studies that they cite in on their website, men are not as likely to stop another man from, you know, doing his thing when he's, I don't know, harassing a woman mm-hmm. or whatever.
Wow.
And I agree. I agree. Rape culture supports men being men, boys being boys, mm-hmm. and guys getting away with whatever they want. So I think that part is true. However, just telling men to step in more frequently sounds like a really... Does this sound like an effective campaign to you?
No,
I feel like it's the like, most ridiculous
okay, if,
thing
if
in
you
the world.
Notice a woman over there is getting raped, say something. Or if a woman's getting harassed, get involved. I mean, that sort of campaign is like, oh, that's really going to appeal. In fact, the whole promo, I think it's good. I think it's good that there is a focus. Like I was complaining about a minute ago.
It's not good enough. That's what I'm talking about, though. It's a Band-Aid solution.
Yes, I agree with that.
I believe that kind of solution... I'm going to just come out and say, I think this kind of thing is evil. Hmm. I think that when you put a Band-Aid on a wound that requires a tourniquet, mm-hmm. that's evil.
Yeah.
What you should do is put a tourniquet on that person and get them to an emergency room. And if you uh-huh. hand them a Band-Aid, then you are going to let that person bleed. You may feel good because you're going to tell yourself you did something for that person. But if you did something that is grossly inadequate to deal with the problem, then you are just as responsible for the ongoing rapes, the ongoing deaths, the ongoing whatevers that you're trying to stop,
mm-hmm.
as if you had done nothing.
We have a lot of Band-Aid solutions, especially what we're talking about today. But in our society, we don't want to deal with things, and we put them off. We do studies. We do all these things that prolong
the actual things happening
because they're Band-Aid solutions.
Also because it helps us feel like we're doing something. So we can feel like good people while we do nothing. It's that Minnesota nice syndrome. Killing us with kindness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Literally killing us with kindness. I saw a discussion online today and it made me laugh. And it was a discussion that one of my dear friends was having. And I've seen discussions like this before. And I don't mean to criticize this particular friend. I'm not even going to mention her name or any other of my friends that I've seen doing this. But it so speaks to the Minnesota nice syndrome. So this is what the discussion looked like. Somebody was talking about how horrified they were about the latest mass shooting. And someone else was talking about how we need more guns and people need to have guns so they can protect themselves. And then
in the same conversation?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in response to the other person's being horrified, and then the response from that person was to say, we have to just agree to disagree. And then the other person said, okie dokie.
Wow.
And then some other person congratulated both of them on being really good at not disagreeing
and having a crazy idea.
But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That conversation is a perfect illustration of what people think they're supposed to be doing. That's how hypocrites get along. And why am I saying hypocrites?
Yeah.
Because if you stand for everything, mm-hmm. you will literally stand for everything. Like if you have put up with everything because you want to be nice,
yeah.
then you don't stand for anything at all.
Gotcha.
You can't say, I am a person that stands against violence. If you stand against violence, but you accept or you approve of, you agree with, or you agree to disagree,
mm-hmm.
which means you do nothing to confront.
Yes.
You do nothing to stop the narrative, to interrupt the flow of negative, unproductive, hurtful, harmful ideas, because you don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
Lives are more important than civility, are they not?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And this whole idea about continually being nice, you know, and agreeing to disagree. I'm always trying to wrap my head about that. Okay, it's basically just stop talking. Let's not actually share the ideas and actually get to a common point and communicate.
My problem with it is then, okay, so you slightly care about rape? You slightly care about women being raped? If you're so blasé about it, why talk about it in the first place? Yeah. It doesn't really matter to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you are sick and tired of women being raped, so sick and tired of the fact that one out of every two Black and Latina women, one out of every two women of color, 50% of all women of color mm-hmm. will be raped,
yeah.
sexually assaulted
mm-hmm.
before the age of 18, many of them more than once.
Wow.
I would go as far as to say most of them more than once. I know I've been sexually assaulted over 10 times in my life.
Wow.
I've been raped. I know most women of color that I've talked to have also been raped or sexually
mm-hmm.
assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of the women in my family.
Wow.
My mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother. This isn't something that is new.
No, it's horrible. It's very horrible.
It is something that we have let happen unabated in this country. And the reason why we don't have a serious discussion about stopping it is because the people that commit most of the rapes and get away with them are white men.
That's right.
We don't talk about this in the context of race.
Mm-mm. No. No, and we should. We really should. And also the Band-Aid solution, you know, this cause effort that you talked about that, you know, here we are now, 2015. You just named off four generations of women in your family who have been sexually abused and raped.
Mm-hmm.
And you named
and
statistics.
I see nothing that's going to stop that.
That's right. And this campaign, it's you're right, I believe it's a total Band-Aid because one of the quotes in the press release for this campaign is, this campaign is a step towards encouraging a shift in the attitudes and culture of youth today.
Encouraging a shift.
A shift in culture. You just named four generations of the building of that culture. Here we are, 2015. Okay, you know, let's start changing that culture.
You want to see a shift in culture?
Yeah.
Ban fraternities from all universities.
Yeah. And
ban them.
Hold men accountable. Hold men accountable.
Ban sororities. Ban fraternities. They are racist institutions that uphold rape culture and misogyny and patriarchy,
yeah.
none of which should be at an institution of higher learning.
Exactly.
They have been caught with their pants down, literally, on so many occasions. They do nothing but bring shame upon institutions of higher learning.
That's right.
In this day and age, in my opinion.
And also the way the institutions of higher learning are run, that you're signing up for these classes, you're basically going through a conveyor belt. You're not immersed in your education when you're at the university because the university doesn't support anything except their classes. So these other activities, these social activities they should be part of your education too. Well, they actually are. That's what we're building, these zombie youth that we have to re-educate and tell them that rape is wrong.
Right. And you know what? I think people should vote with their feet, women especially. And if The university campus doesn't have the kind of commitment to protecting women that you feel is necessary. Go to an all-girl campus, learn online. You know what? The diplomas that you're getting from these institutions of higher learning aren't really worth the paper they're written on these days. Most students are just ending up with massive debt they can never pay back. And if you're a woman of color, if you are going out into the work world after you get your diploma from the university, you'll find you're much more likely to be unemployed. And if you're a person of color, male, even more so. So, you know, is it worth your rape? Is it worth, really? Because that's what we are exchanging for the opportunity to get this piece of paper that is increasingly worthless.
That's right.
Being dispatched to us by universities that are more and more each day filled with adjunct professors and have less full-time professors that look more like malls than they do institutions of learning.
That's right.
And education.
That's right.
So, you know, I think people should vote with their feet. What are you getting out of this? Those campaigns that promote awareness.
Yeah.
Awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, that's where we're at awareness.
Yeah. Well, it's safe and easy to do a campaign like that instead of dealing with the anger and dealing with people and the problems and actually having a solution. That's going to be pretty time intensive.
Well, you know, in order to get to the bottom of rape and to get to a place where we're actually holding men accountable for rape, we have to actually prosecute rapists. Mm-hmm. We have to prosecute all of the raping that's happening, whether it's Timmy or whether it's the teacher
or the hockey player
or the hockey player or the football player.
Exactly.
Because the thing is, when people talk about rape, what we have done is we have created a rape culture where we've told men that they can do whatever they want and that they can get away with doing whatever they want when they've done it.
Yeah.
We don't prosecute men for raping. We don't do it here in this town when men have raped.
Mm-mm.
We don't do it when men have molested children. When white people get in trouble for doing these things, they get a slap on the wrist. When people of color get in trouble for doing these things, they have the book thrown at them frequently.
Yep, they're in prison.
They end up in prison and have their lives ruined. Justice is mocked in the way that it is executed.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to have a thriving rape problem in our midst that we're dealing with by telling men to just step up. Well, gosh, if it was that easy, if we just needed to get men involved. I missed the boat.
Yeah.
Where was I?
Yeah.
I feel stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these kind of campaigns make me angry. Because people are actually spending money on this, just like they do on these bullying campaigns.
Yeah.
I saw this bullying campaign with that Stand Up North Dakota. And then I saw this news report. They take all these kids and they have this day of fellowship. I think that it's sponsored by a church. The last time I checked, we didn't let our kid go to that stupid anti-bullying day.
Because
they have some Christian sponsored church day, basically, that they get funding for. That's why they can't hold it on the school property.
That's right.
Because it would be illegal. But they don't tell parents that.
No, the only reason we knew about it is we got a some sort of consent form that was a consent form saying that we already had their consent.
Right.
And if we weren't going to give her consent, we'd have to sign this paper. And it's like, what? And we called them up and it was like, They just would not budge. They thought this is the
right. They try to tell you that
the queen's bee of the solution here. We're going to send all these kids here. There won't be bullying in our school ever again. And you're like, my kid's been being bullied every day.
Yeah, my kid is being bullied while we talk on the phone, and you're telling me that your Band-Aid solution of everyone hold hands and sing kumbaya and run around a gym.
Mm-hmm.
And pat each other on the back at the end of it and talk about how we had a unity day.
That's right.
I mean, this doesn't do anything, folks. We have massive numbers of kids in school being bullied. But the problem isn't that we don't have enough cops in schools. And the problem isn't that we don't have the proper type of awareness day bullying or awareness campaign against bullying online. That we don't teach our children how to be nicer to each other. That's not the problem, folks. The problem is that when little Susie or little Timmy does something despicable in school, like the kids that were at the high school at South High that invited Westboro Baptist Church to town, they don't do anything to punish those kids because they're a bunch of white privileged kids. And so nobody throws the book at them.
No,
the same teacher had a group of students that had previously gotten into trouble in the same drama department at the same South High.
South High, Fargo.
And had cost the school district over $250,000.
It was $300,000.
Yeah, in a settlement for bullying.
In the theater department.
And the people of this town are paying for that. You know, we pay for that. We pay for people to get a slap on the wrist, a pat on the back, and a gold star for an effort. Effort made.
Exactly. In the same school, just last year, a young black man was basically beat up by a police officer, a resource officer in the school.
For having his pants down.
For having baggy pants. And this is the same school who let the white students have a slap on the wrist, not any accountability.
This is the same school at South High whose assistant principal called a black kid buckwheat.
Yeah. Also confiscated a young Mexican kid's rosary because he said it was gang related.
Yeah, that was the same kid.
Oh.
Wow. He was Blaxican.
I see.
I'm assuming he had black in him because this was part of the anger on the mother's part that he was assaulted for basically wearing memory of his dead father around his neck. And they had the audacity, the school and the principal had the audacity to come back and try to tell the newspaper that the police, and I'm assuming the school resource officer was part of the discussion, had alerted the school principal, the assistant principal in this case, who used the word, about these gang members, read that as black and brown kids, right?
Exactly.
And how they wear these rosaries. Guess what, folks? We're Catholic. We wear rosaries. So you take something that's associated with people of color, like wearing their pants down or certain types of hats or certain type of clothes, you criminalize that.
Yeah.
And then you pretend that you're not being racist. This is the problem that we have. We're not attacking the source problem because we're protecting white supremacy and male patriarchy.
Exactly. We don't study misogyny enough. We've been talking about race more in our society. It's you know, hasn't been pretty, hasn't been very effective, but we're definitely talking about race.
The main culture of this country is white supremacy.
That's right.
And male, toxic male masculinity. And so that is one of the those are the things we really have to address. And we have to attack them with policies. We have to attack them with laws. We have to attack them with a lot more action and less of the awareness BS, because that is getting us zero places. It's literally a red herring. It's a waste of our time. I believe we have every tool at our disposal so that we could reduce gun violence in this country, so that we could reduce rape in this country, and so that we could reduce bullying in our schools and improve our educational system. But first, we have to get rid of racism and male, toxic male masculinity.
That's true.
And white supremacy.
Exactly.
And if we're not willing to tackle those things, we're never going to get to the root of these other problems.
Nope, it'll be a Band-Aid solution.
It's just going to be a Band-Aid solution. We're going to talk more about this when we come back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And this is KPPP-LPFM. We're talking about Band-Aid solutions. We're going to take you to a break with Shinedown and Bully. Kelly from Shinedown.
That's right.
And this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPPLPFM. We are broadcasting right now through Live 365 online. And soon you'll be able to find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM.
Our motto is adding local color to your airwaves. And you can also communicate with us by giving us a call and leaving some feedback. Give us some beef feedback. And you can call 701-566-0917. Tell us who you are, where you live, and leave a message and we may play it on the air. Or you can tweet us at media_PPP. You can also email cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com. And also underneath our podcast, you can actually comment on the individual podcast. Some people have been doing that.
Yes, we got a not so good comment on our Sabor Latino show from this past week.
Oh yeah,
which I'm gonna share on our next Sabor Latino podcast.
Good.
And whether your feedback is good, bad, or ugly, we will share it with our listeners. Just make sure to give your name and town. Let us know who you are.
Yeah.
We love to hear what you have to say. Whether you agree with what we're talking about or not, we want to share your voice. That's what we're about. We want to engage community.
That's right.
In discussion.
Actually, our mission at KPPPLPFM is to engage communities of color and disenfranchise communities in the creation of a non-commercial, community-owned, low-power FM radio station serving Fargo-Moorhead. So that means you need to get involved.
Hyper-local. Local, local, local. But that doesn't mean that we don't talk about issues that affect our community in the state, in Minnesota, in North Dakota, in the region, right, in the Midwest, and all over the nation and the globe.
Exactly.
Because we are all interconnected. So this issue of gun control, it is uniquely American, for sure.
Yeah.
It is very uniquely local to America, because no other country has this problem. But it isn't just a problem in one place in America. It's not like a problem for New York. It's a problem here. There was somebody got shot in at Island Park.
Yeah.
Last year, the same week that that Arizona senator came to visit, the one that got
Gabby Giffords,
the one who was tragically shot in the head.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that former Mayor Wallaker at the time didn't go to the event. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He didn't go to the event.
Didn't show up. No. Nope.
The same week that we had a shooting of a kid, got shot through the hand, I believe. Never heard anything about that story ever again. Who shot the kid?
No. Nope.
Who knows?
No, the news reported something and we never heard about it again.
No. It was terrible.
And a year later, they passed a law in the North Dakota legislature, or it went into effect, that you could basically carry guns out in the open in Fargo. You know,
I know, it's insane.
So a year later, you know, the policies that are, you know, on the way when it comes to gun control.
Well, I saw a lot of very progressive legislators at the event for Gabby Giffords, because we went out and covered it for the People's Press Project.
That's right.
And they were really upset about all of the laws that were being passed at the time that relaxed gun control, not invigorated gun control.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Mass shooting in Oregon, and there's going to be more gun sales.
Yeah.
The effect, the net effect of these mass shootings, which they're occurring once a week in America.
Yes.
Is that we sell more guns. And we pass laws, and the NRA gets bigger. We know these are the outcomes each time there's a mass shooting, and we know there's a mass shooting once a week, and we know we're going to sell more guns, and then more people are going to have guns, and we're going to relax the laws on who can get the guns and how they have the guns.
That's right.
And how many guns they can shoot.
Exactly.
How many bullets they can shoot in a gun. And we don't do jack squat.
No, we don't.
Because why?
We don't want to.
We don't want to.
Exactly.
I think that's the honest truth.
Yeah.
I think it's because we don't want to. Because we know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we know that when we have all of this negative stuff about politics in the media, less people go out and vote.
Yeah.
We know what the outcomes are, and we know which people go out and vote less.
We know who's being disenfranchised from voting, too.
Yeah, and we don't care.
No.
It's if you know what the outcomes are and you do nothing about them, then you are actively participating
That's right.
in the outcomes.
Your silence you're equals a hypocrite. Compliance. Yes.
Your silence equals, yes, you're a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say that you're appalled
yeah.
by the loss of life. Don't say that you are rocked by the latest shocking news of a new mass murder. Don't pretend that you are in mourning for something you really don't give a crap about,
mm-hmm.
that you're not going to do nothing about, that you're going to go right back to bed and forget about tomorrow. Because the truth is, we don't want to change it.
Exactly.
And everyone else in the world looks at us like we're insane. They do.
Yeah.
I want you to play this video. We'll have it available on kpppfm.com along with this podcast. But it is also, it's part of an article that we have from Think Progress, which is also linked at this podcast.
That's right. A lot of the information's out there. We're repeating information. We're talking about it. We're not making it up.
Right. And you can see, you know, between 2000 and 2014, there were 33 mass shootings in all of the following countries combined. Okay.
All right.
33 in all of these countries: Argentina, Australia, Canada, China, England, Germany, Finland, Israel. Let me repeat that. Mexico. Let me repeat that.
Yeah.
Israel and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these places are where mass shootings are happening. We're going to be going to Mexico, and people keep asking us every time we travel there, are you afraid to go to Mexico?
That's right. Is it safe there? Is it safe there? And it's like,
well, Are you afraid of going to Mexico? Listen, no. Again, folks, between 2000 and 2014, there were 33 mass shootings in these countries: Argentina, Australia, Canada, China, England, Germany, Finland, Israel, Mexico, Norway, Russia, South Africa, and Switzerland.
Combined. 33 in 14 years.
And in the same period of time, there were 133 mass shootings in the United States.
Wow.
And it took 487 lives.
Wow.
And the body count is mounting. This is why people think we're crazy. Play that video. Play that video so people can hear.
Right.
To the outside world, I'd say that it's one of the reasons why a lot of people in the outside world always regard America as being certifiably insane, or a large section of it, that there is this deeply divided society in America, part of which is incredibly clever, sophisticated, like Obama, sort of brilliant and astute and ahead of the game. And then there is this Neanderthal part, which is incomprehensible, violent, aggressive, self-hating, extraordinary. And I think part of America's problem abroad is these regular confirmations of the damage it does to itself.
But the question I've often asked Americans who are very, very strongly in favor of gun control is, what are you frightened of that you need so many guns? I mean, I can understand, you know, most British people could understand if you're in the American West and you're miles from anywhere, you might want to hunt or something like that. That's not
fear.
The issue.
It's an emblem. It's who I am. It's me, my guns, my rights. Quite often, my Christianity, all in one unpleasant pool.
To pick up on this point, really, we outsider, we as Arabs, let's say, we find it really perplexing sometimes, that division between the Congress and the White House itself. I mean, the lobby system.
And the inability of presidents to do
so. Yeah, I mean, take the Palestine issue. It has not been progressing at all for at least 3-4 days. Well, through its history, because of the lobby system in the States. They just control the president.
Well, part of it is that members of the House of Representatives are elected every 2 years.
Yeah.
So, unlike senators who've got some time to reflect and grow into the job, if you're facing re-election every 2 years, mm-hmm. you actually listen to not just lobbyists, but your constituents. I mean, that's
right.
what's said in favor of the American system.
Yeah, what I found particularly shocking is that statistically, gun violence in America is the equivalent of a Tunisia beach attack every day of the week, statistically. Mm. And yet nothing is done about it. And Stephanie is right. Obama is powerless about it because the NRA hold all the cards. And, you know, there's nothing that can be done to get in the way of their profits.
Yeah, profits.
Yeah.
The special interests in this country, companies, corporations, and rich people have literally overtaken our government. And the majority of those in power are rich, white, and male.
I thought they did a good analysis. It was a BBC panel on America's response to the Oregon gun massacre. Mm-hmm. And you've stated several times that people in other countries look at America and think we are crazy.
Yeah, they scratch their heads. They're like, "What? Why aren't they doing anything?" Because we don't want to. Duh.
Yeah.
If we wanted to stem this violence, we would. We recoil at the idea of anyone touching our guns. In fact, every time in America where you tell someone to stop doing something, they do the opposite.
Oh, just like a child.
Yes, they go get more guns. What did they do when we started telling people that they were polluting too much in America? That Obama wanted to change emissions so that people had to not have these gas guzzling SUV things. They started rolling coal.
Yeah.
In response.
Yeah. And many times when those policies come out, all these companies get waivers. All these people who have a lot of fingers in the fire will get exemptions, and they're many times the heaviest polluters. It's like when we started recycling in Moorhead. Everybody felt good about putting their plastic bottles in bags, putting them on the front curb, but businesses weren't recycling. The people who are producing the most waste weren't required to. It was basically mandatory recycling. I remember people, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be forced to recycle.
Right. We have this attitude in America. They call it rugged individualism.
That's right.
It's a way of making it perfectly certifiably okay to be a grown-up, tantrum-throwing, racist, misogynist pig.
Yes, exactly.
It is. Because the people like Trump that run around and say whatever they blurt out of their mouths,
mm-hmm.
however racist or ignorant or homophobic or anti-woman mm-hmm. it is, it's praised as being intelligent. By the way, did you hear what Trump said about this mass shooting?
No, I didn't.
He actually said that mass shooters are probably geniuses.
What?
Yeah, but they're kind of geniuses.
Huh.
Of course, we believe in this country, and you know, he is like the pure ego. You know, he's the ego of this country.
That's right,
Trump. Is like a walking ego of America.
Mm-hmm.
He personifies it, kind of like that the woman that was crossing the country in those pictures of Manifest Destiny.
Oh yeah,
that she was personifying that the killing of
clearing the land of people.
Yeah, the clearing people the land
and
of
whatever's
Indians.
There and animals and everything.
Manifest Destiny.
That's right. It's ours now.
Trump is ego of America, and Trump's ego says that killing people is sort of genius.
Wow.
You know, that we have every right in this country to go on killing as many people as we want because male, patriarchal, misogynistic, the toxic male masculinity, the thing I was talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
that is front and center, and it's connected to supremacy in this country.
Definitely.
But it is front and center in everyday policy and life in America. It's part of the rape culture we were talking about mm-hmm. earlier in the program, and it is part of the gun culture.
Exactly. Otherwise, how can you explain it? I think that trying to get people to understand, you know, these awareness campaigns aren't working, because what does it take to make someone actually aware that I would care that women are being raped in this community? And I just sit by, oh, another rape 2 blocks away. Oh, well, you know, it's not my problem.
No, I mean, and it's not true that if you make someone aware, it will change them. In fact, the opposite is true.
Mm-hmm.
There's been studies that have been done that show that when you give people appropriate information, make them aware in many cases that the ideology on which their ideas are based is not factual. Many times it's racist or stereotypical,
mm-hmm.
or comes from flawed sources or flawed research. They become more entrenched in their beliefs.
Exactly. They dig their heels in, so to speak.
Google how information backfires. I think mm-hmm. it was a Virginia something research. But you can look it up and find it's true.
Exactly.
Giving people awareness doesn't make their ideology go away.
Mm-hmm.
And ideology that is based on patriarchy, misogyny, and supremacy, white supremacy.
Exactly.
It's very hard to eradicate because it's been here for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. It's the basis on which this country was formed.
Exactly.
What the gun control issue comes down to is, are we going to disarm white men? Mm-hmm. The same white men that rape with impunity,
yeah.
and kill with impunity. Whether they're officials, whether they are authorities, whether they are in leadership in communities. And take people that have a history of assaulting or committing violent crimes against other people and actually charge them. Because we have a history in this country of lynching black men for looking at white women.
Exactly.
But letting white men rape women of color with impunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look it up. Very true. Very true.
And even as recently as 2015, we reauthorized the Violence Against Women Act,
mm-hmm.
and finally gave reservations the right to prosecute the mostly white males who are raping their women.
That's right.
A jurisdiction with impunity.
Issue. Mm-hmm. Because the jurisdiction issues of the sovereignty of the nations.
And we had our own representative from North Dakota, Kramer,
yeah.
Go to a group of Native people.
Mm-hmm. Mostly women.
Mostly women. Speaking to a woman about the Spirit Lake Nation and saying that he wanted to wring the necks. Representative Kramer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He wanted to wring the necks of the tribal council.
Yeah, and smash their head against the wall.
And smash their heads against
the wall. So he's being very violent in this discussion about the Violence Against Women Act and having jurisdictional...
Which he said that they would never authorize.
Yes.
That it was never going to happen.
Yeah. He didn't want it to.
It was really creepy reaction. Very disturbing. And it's a cornerstone. It represents. It's representative. It speaks volumes to why we don't have protection for women in the state of North Dakota.
Exactly.
Why we don't have protection for women in our country. Why we mm-hmm. don't have protection from guns. This is the same senator who denies climate change.
Exactly.
These are people in our leadership. Those are the people that are actually voted into office by people in this state.
Yeah.
So we are all responsible. And we continue to support those people in power that support these institutions mm-hmm. of supremacy. Who's going to take a white man's gun? Because you know what? If you are a black man holding a purse, a phone.
Yeah, a sandwich.
A sandwich. It doesn't matter. You will get shot and killed. You could be holding nothing. And they'll mm-hmm. say you were a Hulk, a monster. You turned into a superhuman, and you're a killing machine.
Yeah,
that has no value. Be a Native person. Be a Mexican. And you can't have no gun.
Yeah.
You can't even have a toy gun. You can't even have anything that might seem threatening in That's your right. hands.
Exactly.
Like a cigarette or a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
But be a white man and have someone try to take your gun away and see what happens in America. It is not going to happen.
Yeah.
That is the problem we have. Because in order to support white supremacy, we got to keep them guns That's around. Right. But we look like we're crazy to the rest of America.
Exactly.
But we look like we're crazy to the rest of the world. In Canadian news, a correspondent named Paul Johnson, reporting on this Oregon massacre, said, Canadians and many around the world look at the U.S. and how these shootings keep happening over and over again and wonder why there aren't better laws here about who can get guns.
Mm-hmm.
And during his report, this guy, he's interviewing other people, and most of the people he's interviewing actually want more access to guns. just like we're hearing all of these NRA. Well,
it's a crazy thing. I mean, I've been to Canada many times, and I never saw guns, you know, and I talked to people about guns, and it was kind of like people had never seen guns in their whole life. Now, here in North Dakota, they'll argue that we're hunters. We're going to go shoot animals. And it's like, well, in Canada, you can
White people as hunters. I grew up in Iowa where there's a lot of guns.
Oh, yeah.
I was trained on how to use a gun. I know how to shoot. I'm a pretty good shot.
Yeah. I even had some NRA training myself, some sharpshooter training.
Yeah, you're a really good shot.
Yeah, and I don't own a gun, but I won a trophy at a police academy.
Yeah, and I am, like I said, I'm a really good shot. I grew up with guns. I grew up owning guns, and I was always terrified of guns.
Yeah.
Always terrified of guns. I do not have a gun in my home, and I wouldn't have a gun.
Me either.
And I believe gun control starts with saying that stuff, that you don't have guns, you don't want
guns. And our society can survive without guns. I mean, there's all this, many countries around us that control guns and who has guns. And, you know, there's violence. There's violence in, everywhere in the world. But
not as much as there is here.
Not as much as there is here. And, you know, look at Britain. You know, and the cops don't have guns, you know. they're the bobbies. They run around without guns. They're, you know, well.
And, well, you know what Sky News said? This is a British channel. They were even worse. It said, part of America is a third world country, isn't it, really? The middle bit of America. People don't even know where the rest of the world is. I think America actually needs to brighten itself up a bit.
I said, brighten itself up a bit.
Yes. Like, we're dumb. He's saying
we are.
That
we are.
We're a bunch of ignorant hicks.
We're hicks because it's like geography is one of the, you know, talk to young people. You know, ask them where things are in the world and they'll be like,
they don't know. We're very isolated here because of our xenophobia.
Exactly.
Because we don't, everyone who wants to speak American.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a problem. In the past, America has done absolutely nothing about mass shootings. When Sandy Hook happened, and there were 20 children that were murdered.
Okay.
If you remember that.
Yeah, I do.
There was a total of 26 people that died.
Wow.
At that event, at that mass murder, mass shooting.
Mass shooting.
What was the response to that in America? In Congress.
In Congress.
They loosened gun laws. They weakened gun laws, regulations. They did not do anything but make more gun sales.
Wow.
What did the Pope say when he came here? When he was speaking to Congress, he said, and I think this, I think is among other things, was one of the things that John Boehner was crying about. He said, when you are selling guns to countries that are going to go murder innocent people, it's your hands that are covered in their blood.
That's right.
Innocent people's blood.
Mm-hmm.
He convicted those people with his words.
Yeah.
As a messenger of God.
Exactly.
And Boehner quit the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoo!
Wow.
I don't know what happened. I think he performed an exorcism.
I think.
But whatever happened, he said some things. He said some things about gun control in our country. And I think if we really care about bullying. We need to get rid of entitled little white kids who do horrible things in school
and get away with it.
And entitled white teachers that do horrible things to kids in school. And they've been doing it. They punish kids of color four times more
exactly
than they do and suspend them more often. Kids even in preschool, the majority of whom are kids of color, are suspended.
That's right. It's a prison, elementary school to prison pipeline.
And we have to address what's really at the heart of the problem. This is why we're continuing to do these Band-Aid solutions. Because when it comes down to it and you realize that you're going to lose some of your white privileges, that little Timmy over there can't rape whoever he wants to. Can't go and go find that strange. He can't go and get that brown or black strange that he wants and fetishize some brown or black woman or Asian woman and get away with it. Because rape culture isn't really approved of, and they're going to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And the women who come forward and complain of being raped are going to be believed, are going to be listened to.
Exactly.
That the institutions of higher learning are going to throw those boys out on their ear. That they're going to be charged criminally, and that they're going to actually pay sentences. And that we're going to give out as many rape sentences to privileged white frat boys and white boys as we do to black and brown men and children in this country, and charge them equally when they commit these crimes, then we will actually have some change in terms of the number of rapes that occur.
Yeah.
But as long as we're not willing to deal with those inequalities, as long as we're not even willing to talk about them, I don't see anything changing.
No.
And the same goes for gun control.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of what women can do, we have to get proactive in protecting ourselves. And like I said at the top of the show, folks, vote with your feet.
That's right.
I think, you know, there are things that we can do as a society, as a community, to address awareness, to talk about these issues. And of course, we always want to hear what you guys have to say. You can leave us a message at 701-566-0917. You can tweet us at media_PPP. Follow us on social media at the People's Press Project online. And send us an email at cindy.duke@kpppfm.com. And we're going to leave you today with a Rachel Crow song, Mean Girls. Thank you for listening.
The popular girls at school have spreading rumors about me.
I've been bullied.
They make me feel like I'm different.
Some of my friends have stopped hanging out with me.
They spread awful rumors about me.
I just don't get it.
I don't know why I don't fit in.
What did I ever do to them?
I don't understand what I did.
I know that I can make friends.
I didn't do anything wrong.
I really hope things do get better soon, except right now it doesn't feel like anything's going to change.
Do you ever go to lunch with no one by your side? 'Cause the moment you arrive, they all leave the table, calling me everything but my name. Need I remind you again? Just call me Rachel. How would you feel if you're running home crying like yourself in your room? Don't want anyone to see ya while everyone's having fun outside, and you're telling yourself, looking at you weird, calling you a loser. All these girls wearing bubblegum pink, guess I didn't get the memo 'cause they're laughing at my blue shirt. Well, I hope you're feeling good about you, treating someone you know like a perfect stranger, 'cause it's easier than standing by my side. Run my world.